Because we live in a darkened world, there are seasons in life when we seem to be enveloped in this darkness. It may appear that the problems we face are too great for us to overcome at the time. But God has given us many precious promises on which to hold in the midst of our troubles. In this next teaching, Pat reads the familiar account of David and Goliath from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The message to us today is that when darkness and evil come against us, God will give us the strength and the power to prevail. And the more tests and trials we endure, the more our faith is built stronger and stronger. Now, open your Bible to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, and let's read along as Pat shares this valuable lesson, Faith for the Fight.
Just imagine how time does go by. And I do remember that little tiny studio, that first day of broadcasting. It was Sunday, October the 1st, 1961. It didn't seem possible that that day we were going to get on the air. It was a series of miracles. And finally, we put all the Scotch tape we could find and the baling wire together, and the old transmitter lumbered on the air. And we at least got down to that convenience store down at the corner. Things have gone by so fast, it was hard to understand how time could go by so fast and so many things could happen, and yet the world is moving much faster. A guy named Alvin Toffler wrote a book called Future Shock that indicated that the larger the population of the world, it seemed like the world is moving around faster and faster. I want to share with you something I think is appropriate on a day of commemoration, because we can gain from where we have been. I want to share with you, if you've got your Bibles, the story that is so familiar to all of us, and yet there's some things that we can learn from this story found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, the Philistines had gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs in Judah, and they camped at the area of Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other. And a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 9 feet and a hand breadth, 9.5 feet tall. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and was clothed with scale armor, which weighed about 125 pounds. And he had a bronze leggings on and bronze javelin slung between his shoulder. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the head of his spear weighed about 15 pounds. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." And again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And Saul and all the Israel heard these words. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And it says they began to run, and every day for 40 days this Philistine came out and took his stand. And it was a young fellow named David, and his father Jesse said, "Well, take some roasted grain and loaves of bread up to the camp. Run up to the camp and give these cheese and bread to your brothers, and look into the welfare of your brothers, and then bring me back news." And so David arose early in the morning, left the flock with a keeper, and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. And David left his baggage in care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking to them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke with these same words, and David heard them. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the man and said, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? And then they repeated to him all the benefits that would come from killing him. And David's older brother said, how dare you come up here and act like a soldier? You ought to be home looking after the sheep. He turned away from him and said the same thing. And then David said, I can take him. He's a 16-year-old kid. And all these battle-hardened veterans are up there, and he's a 16-year-old. Maybe he's 15. I don't know. He's 15, 16, somewhere in that order. And he's just a little boy, teenager. The troops are laughing at him, but somebody said to Saul, there's this kid down there that says he can fight him. So Saul says, well, bring him up here and let me talk to him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he's been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose up against me, when he turned on me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, well, you go and may the Lord be with you. Now, folks, that's what's called looking back at history and learning from it. David was a youngster, but he'd been in combat against fierce animals. Lions are not fun. And one lion came and grabbed a little sheep out of his flock, and David was mad, and he went after him and started pounding that lion on the head with his stick, and the lion dropped the lamb and turned around to him with all of his fury. He was going to kill him. And David said he grabbed him by the hair of his chin and beat him over the head with a club or stuck a knife at him or whatever, but he killed him. And the same experience happened with a bear who was also molesting his flock. The bear had one of his little sheep in his jaws, and David ran after him and grabbed him, and this huge bear was lumbering along, and David, you can just see, probably jumped up on his back and locked his hands around his neck. And this bear is roaring and charging and rearing up and going after him with his paws and the teeth in his jaws, and he was a fearsome sight. And David, again, he just grabbed him by his head. Maybe he took his head and he twisted it and broke his neck. It didn't say exactly what he did, but he killed them. Both of them, and he did it essentially with his bare hands. He wasn't exactly a wimp. Any way you look at him, he was young, but he was tough. But now he goes into this situation, and he brings with him memories. He brings with him memories. You and I don't go out against the devil, against situations, against hard things, against major business decisions, against whatever it is we've got to do, without some history. Over and over again, we've seen God do miracles here. Constantly, we've seen miracles. We've needed money. We've got on our knees. We prayed. God sent money. We've seen nations that we wanted to have open for the gospel. God's opened nations. We've tried building projects that seemed, in a sense, impossible, and God has performed the building. We've seen universities rise. We've seen all kinds of things happening. We've seen doors open like in India, where we can broadcast the gospel in seemingly impenetrable countries have opened up. We've seen God do it. You see, I've seen God time and time and time and time again. That's why you get strong. If all you do is face a current situation with no background, you're scared. But that isn't the way the Lord does. He lets you build experiences. He lets you experience faith. He lets you experience miracles. He lets you go through trials. He lets you come up against the lions and the bears of this life. He lets you fight demons. He lets you come down into difficult places where you're despondent, where it doesn't seem possible you can go on. He takes you into hard situations so that you could grab that lion by the beard and kill him. And you walk out of it victorious. And then you say, yeah, I did it. I did it because God was with me and God did it. He used my hand to do the work. And that's what David said. He didn't take the glory himself. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. That's smart. The Lord that did it yesterday, the Lord that did it 10 years ago, the Lord that did it 20 years ago, the Lord that did it in the days of Jesus, the Lord who did it in the days of Paul, the Lord who did it in the days of Moses and Joshua, that same Lord, he's here today. Same Lord. Doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed a bit. And so you go back and you need these experiences. Don't ever shirk the fact that God will put you into a training ground. How in the world do your muscles grow unless you've learned something? When you've gone into a contest and you've come out of it victorious, or even if you've come out of it bloody, you know you're still alive. You know what it's like and you're not afraid of it the next time you encounter it, because the same God that carried you through once will carry you through again. He doesn't fail. He hasn't gone asleep. He's not old. He didn't wear out. He's always young. He's always fresh and he's always able. And David knew this. And those other guys, those Philistine troops, had never seen anything like that. They had never grappled a lion in their bare hands. They'd had an army with them. They'd had all the protection. And so there was one man with a spear and another man. They had 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. They had chariots. They had arms. They had big baggage train. They had the equipment of an army in those days. And the whole force of the government was with them. So they were one little tiny cog. And they didn't see themselves as great heroes and champions because they'd never had the experience. But David did. And he said, I'm going to use the same weapon I used last time. And that's something else again, too. If you've gone into battle against a lion and you had your hands and a knife, then the next time you go into battle, you'd be better off with your hands and a knife than trying to get a machine gun. You're used to this kind of weapon. David said, I can't handle your sword. It's too big for me and your armor is so heavy I couldn't move if I put it on. So he just had a little belt on, and he had a little pouch down there where he carried his stones, and he had this little slingshot with him, and that's all he had. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a shield. He didn't have a spear. He didn't know how to use those things anyhow. He wasn't a warrior, but he was a courageous man who lived with God. It's interesting as you read on about what happened. The Bible says after they tried these clothes, he said he took his stick in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag. So he carried it in his waist, this little bag, and even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And the Philistine looked, and he saw him. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. I was 15, I went into Golden Gloves. Let me tell you, if you want to really experience, you want to have some fun, get into the ring with some big bruiser on the other side of the ring. You're a 15-year-old kid, and you think he's going to kill you, and there's no place to hide. And all this crowd of 3 or 4,000 people screaming, you know, kill him, get him, you know. David's 15. I know what a 15-year-old can experience. I've been in the arena at age 15. It's quite an experience. And you're a little scared when you go into it. And David, he approached this Philistine, and the Philistine is laughing at him. He says, am I a dog? You come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine says, come on, kid, come to me. You want a little piece of this? Come on down here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky. Can't you see a street fighter out there? Come on, come on. You want a little of this? Come on at me. What does David say? His knees should have been knocking. Think of yourself out there. This guy's 9 feet tall. He's got 125 pounds of armor on, and he's spare. The tip of it's 15 pounds. He's 9.5 feet tall. That's a big guy. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And he said, you think you're big, big boy, but I'm coming for somebody that's a whole lot bigger than you are. The one that's with me is a whole lot bigger than you are. He decides who wins battles. And I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts.
And this day, he said, he made a pronouncement. He was arrogant almost. He was humble, but at the same time, his faith was so strong. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And all his assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And it happened when the Philistine rose and came near to meet David. Here's the deal. David didn't just kind of walk timid up to him. He ran at him. Can you imagine that giant? He's looking at that old kid, and the kid's running at him. I mean, he's running. And he's swinging his thing around, you know, and he's running at him as hard as he can run. And the Philistines, what is this? You know, he must have begun to be a little scared. What is going on in that young fellow's mind? Why isn't he afraid? Why isn't he backing up? Why isn't he done like those other troops? They all ran away from me. I'm not used to this. And here this kid, he's running at him. Whew. Why? Because he had seen God work before. And he's swinging this thing around and around. And he ran at him up to the line of battle. And David put his hand into his bag. And he took from it a stone. And it says he slung it. And boy, just think, if he'd missed. I mean, he had one shot. And if he missed, what would have happened? I mean, he's dead meat. He's run right up to this giant. He's got one shot. And if he doesn't hit, it's all over. No more David. It didn't even cross his mind. You see, that thought never even entered his mind. He was so sure that God was going to give him the victory. When you go out into battle, folks, you've got to be sure that God is going to give you the victory. Book of James says the double-minded man doesn't get anything from the Lord. You don't get anything from the Lord, people who are doubting all the time. Either God's going to do it or he's not going to do it. God will do it. He's a champion. He's a victor. David knew God. One shot. He has one shot. Oh, that great big spear has impaled him right through the chest, and the giant's hanging him up like this and showing him, you know, look what I just got. You know, I stuck him good. David is swinging that thing, one stone, and whoosh, right at the giant's forehead, and hit him right here. That is something. He got him right in the forehead, and you just wonder, I mean, it sunk right in, it sunk in, he hit him so hard, and the giant just looked one thing, his eyes got glazy, and whoom, over he went, and David ran up to him, and he said he killed him. I don't know what he had to do to kill him. Then he's got this monstrous sword. It was the giant sword. He picks the thing up, and whoomp, and he cuts his head off. And then he picks the head up. You know, you read later, he's got this thing. He's carrying it all over the place, this bloody old head with his eyes staring at him. You know? I mean, it's a horrible sight. But he wanted the Philistines to know that God had done a number on his giant. It was all over. 15-year-old, ruddy-cheeked young man, but he had a background with God. He had experiences with God, and he knew the same God that beat the bear, same God that beat the lion, same God could beat the giant. Same God, same victory, same technique, and same David. He hadn't changed. Just keep that in mind. When we go out into battle, and there will be battles ahead of all of us, we realize that there's no devil out there that's bigger than God. We beat them before, we beat them again. There's no force against us that's any greater than anything that's come against us in the past. We beat them before, we beat them again. Whatever comes against us, we'll take it because we've done it before. Not because of us, but the same God who helped us win before will help us win again. He hasn't changed. So let's pray right now and ask God to bring before us the victories of the past that were not done in our strength, but in the strength of the living God. And Father, we come before you thanking you for others who have seen victory after victory, Lord, and have gone out into battle against the enemy and have prevailed because God Almighty was doing it. And Lord, we know and they know and all of us know that the same God who gave victory in the past will give victory in the future. Lord, we thank you for the glorious future that is ours. Now we pray, take away all fear in the name of Jesus. Fear has torment. We bind the spirit of fear. And give us the faith to believe in the name of Jesus. Lord, do miracles at CBN.
Lord, we pray for miracles in the internet. We pray for miracles in the Far East. We pray for miracles in the Middle East. We pray for miracles on Middle East television, for great miracles in Africa, for miracles in Latin America, and particularly the United States. Give us miracles. Give us righteous leaders. Give us the power of God. Lord, we've come against forces of evil, but we ask God that the strongholds of the enemy might be taken down. And Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now God, be lifted up today, and we'll praise your name, and we'll thank you, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you.
This final message, the I wills of God, is taken from Psalms 91. Verses 14 through 16. These promises from the Lord are preceded by a special series of conditions to set our love upon God, to know His name, and to call upon Him. If we will do these things, the Lord says, I will deliver him and set him securely on high. So I invite you now to join the employees of CBN in a very intimate time of worship and prayer. And as you listen to the prayer of Pat Robertson, I encourage you to put into practice the principles you have learned in this teaching series. Because you are a child of God, you can extend your faith to believe for an answer to your prayers. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 91, and let's agree in prayer for an answer from heaven.
Lord, we shout from the highest. We give you praise and worship and honor. We bless the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all of your bounty and all of your mercies and all of the goodness of the Lord. May your name be honored and glorified in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. If you'd turn with me, please, to the psalm. This is a familiar one, one that we all love, the 91st Psalm. Anybody that's ever been in the military, this is for many a psalm that kept people alive. But it's something that I think is so important. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would take the word and touch us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. At the end of the 91st Psalm, the 14th verse and following, there are the I wills of God. And you ought to memorize these because they're just precious. It starts off, he says, because he has set his love upon me. Number one, I will deliver him. Because he has set his love upon me, I will set him securely on high. Because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, because he loves me, because he's known my name. I will rescue him. I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. And I will let him behold my salvation. That's not too shabby, is it? I want you to get those again. Now, the two things you got to do. Because he has set his love on me. That was the great commandment, wasn't it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Because he has set his love upon me, I'm going to do these things. And because he has known my name, and the Bible says you've honored your word above your name, but in the Lord's Prayer you start off, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so, two things. You know and hallow the name of the Lord, and you love him. You love God. You love him above other things. You don't have idols. You're not serving idols. You're serving him. And so then he says, to the people who are doing that, I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to set him securely on high. He will call and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a long life. And more than anything, he will behold my salvation. Now, I want to focus in just a little bit more on this particular thing. Verse 15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Call upon me and I will answer you, is what the Lord says. How many can think of some other times when God says, I will answer you? He says that in Isaiah 58, doesn't he? He says, they'll call and I will answer. I will be with them. I will give them the light of day. God sends something out for us. He appeared before Solomon and he says, ask me what I can give you. And what he says to us today and every day as we go into the new millennium, call upon me and I will answer you. He will call upon me and I will answer him. Because he set his love on me, because he's known my name. He that dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because he has known my name and because he set his love on me, he will call and I will answer. Now I want every one of you to think what it is that you want from God right now. We had some great testimonies at 700 Club. I had a word of knowledge the other day the Lord gave me. It was really something. It was somebody's right cheek. There was some sort of a thing. It was almost, I thought it was like somebody had cut him with a knife or a sword or something. But there was something that was spreading all the way down the whole face. And there was a woman down in Texas, in Corpus Christi, who had this situation so badly, she was ashamed to go out. Husband wanted to go out on her birthday or anniversary or something. She was ashamed to go to a restaurant because she said people stare at her. She had this thing. It was all inflamed and infected and spread all the way down her face, and she couldn't get rid of it. And that word on her right cheek, and she says, God, let it be me. She called. She said, let it be me. And this thing sort of popped open and started to drain. In a few days, she said, it's 99% healed. All the discoloration's gone. Praise God. Praise the Lord. They will call and I will answer. Let it be me, she said. Now, what is it you want? Call upon me and I will answer you. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great things, great mighty things you didn't know about. Jesus said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. They shall seek me and find me when they seek for me with all their heart. It just goes on and on. All through the Bible, God says, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Call upon me and I'll meet your needs. What are your needs? What is your problem? What would you like? What could I do for you? I am a God who is all sufficient. Actually, one of the names of God we translate kind of God Almighty, but in Hebrew it means the full-breasted one. It means the one who's the nourisher, the one who can care for the needs of people. He exists. His name is Jehovah, Yahweh, I am. I am the provider. And he said, I will answer you. Everybody believe that? All right, I want us to pray. I want us to pray right now. I don't need to talk anymore about this. You get the message. I want us to believe God right now. Whatever your needs are right now, we've all got a need, every one of us. I got needs. You've all got needs, every one of us. I want us to think just this moment of what our needs are. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Now, Lord, right now, we declare that we love you. You said, because he set his love upon me, I will do these things. Because he has known my name. Lord, we know your name, and we're called by your name. We're called Christian. We're called by the name of the Anointed One of God. We're called by the name of one whose name is Jehovah Savior. The Messiah, the Anointed One. We're called by your name. We know your name, O Almighty God, Jehovah God, Great Comforter,
Exalted One, Mighty Ruler, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. We're known by your name. We call upon your name. We know your name, Lord. Now, Lord, we come before you right now, and we acknowledge that we are under this promise. And so you said, call upon me, and I will answer you. Now, Lord, you know the needs of the people. I know what I need. I need more of you. And, Lord, that's what we all need. We need more of you to start. We need your wisdom, God. We need your anointing. All of us need an anointing from God. We need to walk with you in holiness and godliness. We need to have our sins forgiven, Lord. We need you to comfort us and talk to us and walk with us, Lord. Now, Lord, your people are here assembled, and they're in agreement with one another. And, Lord, each one right now is going to ask you for the deepest need in his or her heart. Needs that have not yet been answered. Cries of the heart that have not yet been fulfilled. Lord, you know what we need before we ask it, but nevertheless, we're coming to ask right now. And so as we're just quiet before you, Lord, the people are going to express in their hearts the thing that is on their heart, the cry of their heart. Call upon me and I will answer you because you've known my name. Oh God, right now, we receive these blessings as we come and ask you, Lord. In the quietness of our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God Almighty, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We call and you'll answer, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hear the cry of your children today, Lord, as they call upon you right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Call upon me and I will answer you. I will deliver you. I will set you on high. I will honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the living God. Receive now the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers for our loved ones that you're hearing right now. Thank you for prayers for financial difficulties that you're hearing right now, Lord. Thank you for prayers for physical healing that you're hearing right now. Yes, it's me, Lord. It's me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Call upon me and I will answer you. Thank you, Lord. I will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Thank you, Jesus. Who gives freely and upbraids not, and he shall receive of the Lord. He shall receive of the Lord. Lord, increase our faith right now. Nothing is impossible. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The glorious healing power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into people's lives right now. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. People are crying out to you right now, Lord. A fresh move of the Spirit of God. Revival in our households, Lord. God, wayward children who don't want to serve God. You're touching their lives right now. families that are on the brink of breakup, you're bringing together right now. Thank you, Jesus. There's deliverance from besetting sin right now. God is hearing and answering. Thank you, Jesus. This power of God coming into people's lives right now that you've been crying for. You've been asking for wisdom. God is going to give you an anointing, a new touch of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We call upon the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hear us, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you. You promised. You promised. You will call and I will answer. I will answer. I will answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You don't lie. I will answer. In the name of Jesus. If you have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and it'll move and be cast into the sea. In the name of Jesus, I will answer. Thank you, Lord. I receive this, Lord, right now. I receive it in my life. I receive it for CBN. I receive it for everybody in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We receive it for one another as we're praying for the person next to us. We receive for them right now. We call upon the Lord for my brother and sister sitting next to us on either side. We cry out for them right now that they might have the answer to their prayer now in the name of Jesus. We call, Lord, and you will answer. Let the anointing flow, Lord. Let the anointing flow. Oh, praise you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's been under a terrible burden of fright. It may be you or one of your children, but there's been terrific fear that has settled, and that fear is going right now as we're speaking in the name of Jesus. God is answering and driving out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. For fear has torment in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless God right now. We thank you for the answer. Lord, I will call. We call on the Lord for one another. We're believing God right now. There'll be no sickness in this room in the name of Jesus. There'll be no sickness in this room in the name of Jesus. There'll be healing in the name of Jesus. There'll be no pain. There'll be no infirmity. There'll be no hearing loss. There'll be no loss of vision. There'll be no cancer, no heart attacks, no broken down bones, no arthritis in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And God's people will not know poverty, for God is a provider and God is going to take care of His saints. God's going to take care of His saints in the name of Jesus. And His ministry shall have an abundance. We believe God in the name of Jesus. The house of the Lord shall be full in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. And your saints will not go dry and crying out. Your saints will be filled with fatness and moisture. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. The power of God shall come down and be anointing, Lord. Like a tree planted by rivers of waters, fruit doesn't fail and brings forth its fruit in due season. Every one of us shall be fruitful in the name of Jesus. We receive fruitfulness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, those who are crying out for children shall have children. Those who've got sick children, the children will be well. Those who've got relatives that don't know the Lord shall find Jesus. There'll be a flow of salvation. We call and you will answer. Thank you, Lord. And let great revival come. We pray for this nation, O God. You said your prophet Jeremiah, they've healed the wound of the daughter of my people lightly, saying, "He peace, peace, when there is no peace." And, oh God Almighty, let revival come to America. May this land come to the Lord. We call upon you for America, Lord. You will call and I will answer. Revival shall come to America in the name of Jesus. And let it start right here. The power of God flowing throughout these rooms and offices and studios and workrooms, wherever we are, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Receive an answer right now to your prayer. You will call and I will answer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by these special chapel messages. It is wonderful to have another member of the CBN family join us for these intimate times of praise and worship and teaching and prayer. You're such an important part of all that God is doing here at CBN, so we're happy to share these messages with you. Please remember, if you have any prayer need at any time of the day or night, or if you would like to share with us how God answered your prayers through these messages, please call our 24-hour prayer line at 1-800-759-0700 or log on to our website at www.cbnnow.com. Thank you again for all you are doing to help the ministry of CBN reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may God bless you richly.